Good morning. This is Paul Ingram of PainScience.com. It is Tuesday, March 26, 2024. Today's post reading is Ice Bath Safety and Hypoxic Blackout, with a bunch of extra for members only. Not a whole lot. It's still a short post, but I added an extra section for members today. So in addition to the audio being members only, there's a little extra content for members. Ice baths. Dipping yourself in cold water for therapeutic purposes is probably not as dangerous as many other popular activities, including a bunch of other water-related ones. But there is a medical consensus that the ice bath danger is real. Although younger and fitter people are much less likely to have trouble, the popularity of the practice has led to huge numbers of more vulnerable people giving it a try. Especially people who are actually struggling with their health. They are literally motivated by their vulnerability to do a thing that they are vulnerable to. This is not the only place we see this pattern. It happens quite a bit in medicine, and especially alternative medicine. An example that occurs to me off the top of my head, kind of a classic one, is the risk of cervical artery dissection with neck adjustment at the chiropractor's office. As chiropractors will point out reliably when this topic comes up, these people may have been doomed to have a little artery tear, regardless of whether or not their neck is manipulated. But of course, it's possible that they're seeking care because of the problem, because pain is sometimes a sneaky symptom of an incipient arterial rip. And so people may seek out neck adjustment literally at the exact same moment in their life that they are the most vulnerable to that, the most likely for that neck adjustment. You know, they could spend 35 years being, you know, totally immune to, you know, any serious consequences of a neck manipulation. But that week, that day, when they finally go seek out care, that might be the day where it happens. It might be the worst possible time to do it. So yeah, it's kind of an interesting pattern that that people seek out interventions exactly at the times when they tend to be more likely to be vulnerable to them, and ice baths are an example of that. The risks include hypothermia, shock, heart attack, and stroke. However, documentation of injuries and deaths by these causes during full-body cryotherapy is minimal, either because it's fairly rare or underreported, which is always likely, or a bit of both. There have been quite a few documented deaths related to hypoxic blackout, also known as shallow water blackout, which occurs when hyperventilation is combined with water and breath holding. This phenomenon is very well known to freedivers. Significant hyperventilation temporarily suppresses the reflex to breathe, essentially creating the illusion that you can hold your breath for longer than you actually can. This results in unpredictable blackouts while in the water. And I think that there's some, you know, substantial X factors and uncertainty in there. Not everybody who hyperventilates just shoots past their actual ability to hold their breath. It's not a death sentence to hyperventilate and try to hold your breath. So exactly what happens to some people, why some people black out, is unclear. Why some do and some don't. But it definitely happens. And this phenomenon is real and dangerous and has killed people. But who's hyperventilating and swimming or breath holding in the water? Because obviously blacking out in a nice comfy chair, not such a big deal. It's the combination of blackout with water. So who's combining those? What's going on there? Well, it's more common than you might think, primarily because of the popularity of the Wim Hof method, which includes both hyperventilatory breathing exercises and immersion as standard features. Abuses and careless malpractice are likely common. In the post, I link to quite a substantive video on this topic, which, if you're interested, is well worth getting into. To minimize your risks of hypoxic blackout, do not take up cold bathing, or do it more conservatively if you have significant health issues, especially cardiovascular pathology. Oh, sorry, I'm talking about all the risks here, not just not just shallow water blackout. How to do cryotherapy safely. Four reasons, two of four now. Go feet first and keep breathing steadily. Not hyperventilating, just normal, steady breathing. Don't hold your breath, in other words. Allow time for rewarming and don't do dangerous things like driving until after you've had a good chance to recover. And finally, very important, never hyperventilate before swimming or breath holding in water without very expert guidance, or maybe never at all with any kind of guidance. Just maybe don't do it at all because there's really no need unless you're a free diver, probably. Even then, there's not a need. I don't think anyone needs to be a free diver. This post is an excerpt from a whole new article dedicated to systemic cryotherapy, which I wrote in the aftermath of writing about a scientific test of the Wim Hof method last fall. The article is about 50% that post, and about 50% miscellaneous new stuff about cryotherapy. It's called Whole Body Cryotherapy for Pain: The Science of Freezing Your Butt Off to Treat Pain or Enhance Recovery from Intense Exercise. Just in case you were wondering why you might want to take the risks that I described above. The list of risks. I think that's what my brain was doing there. Risk list. And now for the extra. I'm going to start trying this. I'm going to start doing more small extra member sections. So this personal story is for members only because it's embarrassing. I flirted with hypoxic blackout for years without knowing it. For many years, I practiced what I thought of as sinking meditation, and it was much more dangerous than I realized. I think it's really neat to sink to the bottom of a pool and meditate while holding my breath. And yes, I really did a lot of this. As I have confessed before, I used to be a flake. I'm a busy guy and I don't like long meditations, so limiting my meditation to as long as I can hold my breath kind of works for me. But a minute or two of drifting breathless at the bottom of the pool is that's just right. That's nice. That's not a long meditation. It's just a short, nice one. Pool bottoms are peaceful places, and slowly sinking is kind of a strong sensory metaphor for a descent into an altered state. So I always thought it was very pleasant. If only I'd known the risk that I was taking. During my massage career, I had a client who was an elite free diver. She regularly held her breath for about 6 to 7 minutes and hung out with a free diving crowd that was generally getting to 8 minutes at that time. They're probably past that now. That's well short of what's possible. It still blows my mind. Even 8 minutes just seems incredible. Almost unbelievably, as of last year, the world record for breath holding was 24 minutes and 37 seconds. Astonishing. So I'm fascinated by breath holding, and I can easily last a minute, but my personal record is trivial. I got to 2 minutes once, just. And how did I get there? By hyperventilating. By suppressing the reflex to breathe. As I know now, that is a very bad way to improve your breath hold duration because of the risk of hypoxic blackout. And I was doing it while sitting underwater on the bottom of a pool, entirely oblivious to the danger. I did this semi-regularly for years, and a lot of that I was alone in a private pool where there would have been no hope of being noticed in time if I had blacked out. In fact, I'm not even sure that there would have been a visible difference between, what I was doing there, sitting peacefully and still, versus blacked out or dead. I shudder to think how close I probably came to an ignominious ending. In retrospect, it may well have been the most dangerous thing I have ever done. Probably not as dangerous as driving, the great risk that we all take all the time without thinking about it. But Like properly dangerous. That was a very foolish thing to do, and it was just 100% grounded in ignorance. Makes a good story though. Okay, that's today's post. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.